This is Ben Crenshaw. You're listening to Radio Golf Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to RotoFest 18. Can you believe that? 18. We've 18 of these we've done. But today we that's pretty good, right? 18.
Yeah.
Well, how'd that happen? Four? How many times?
Almost as old as me.
Well, we've had the duck on a few of these. 18, RotoFest 18, and today we bring you the new improved version, which is not the usual snake draft of people you can pick you think are going to win, and once the guy's off the board, he's gone. We have moved to categories where everybody potentially could pick the same player. The categories range from the top five betting favorites and past champions to players whose first names start with the letter S. To the Europeans, there's eight categories altogether, and we want to give you, ladies and gentlemen, the experience of hearing why these experts that we have on pick these players, and not really who they pick, but why they pick these guys, and they can pick anybody they want. Tonight we have Malcolm Duck and Adi Olafsson. We're waiting for Casey Shea. David Ogren in absentia caddying for Oliver Betschart at the U.S. Amateur Qualifying has sent in his picks in absentia. We start, ladies and gentlemen, here. First of all, welcome, Malcolm, and welcome, Adi. It's great to see you guys.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Thank we you. Will start with the category of the top five betting favorites. And they are, according to the Vegas Sportsbook, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, and Xander Schauffele. So everybody gets to pick one guy. Malcolm, would you like to lead us off with your pick from this category?
Well, I mean, I've said in a couple of these that anybody in the field can win. The quality of golfer in all tournaments is just phenomenal now, and the quality of golfer trying to get in tournaments is phenomenal. So anyone in the field can win, but top five betting favorites is top betting favorites for a reason. So what you're giving us on the list to choose from are Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, or Bryson DeChambeau, as I call him, John Rahm, and Xander Schauffele. I'm going with Rory. He hasn't had a great time, but he's such a good player. He's got to come back. What happened with the driver stuff obviously really upset him. The fact that information was leaked, although that's why he didn't hang around for, I don't know if you know about that, but his driver was found to be not measuring up to current specifications, which happens on random tests, but those random tests should never be leaked. I believe the same actually had happened to Scottie Scheffler, but he didn't disclose it.
Exactly.
Of course, that just comes back to, did you win the Masters with an illegal driver, which is rubbish. Absolutely right. Rushing. This is a common practice in all the in every single tournament random testing. So I'm going with McIlroy because I think I don't think he's got much to prove. Maybe the monkey's off his back, having won his major. Maybe he's just relaxing. But I think he's a guy that can come and do it. The golf course setup I'm hearing is pretty tough. I think he practice round was 13 over with birdieing the last two holes, which doesn't
exactly sound 81. Yes.
Do you know what the green speed was?
I hear it's in the range of 15, 16 now.
15.
Is that unbelievable?
I mean, I think it's wrong. I think it's unbelievable. Yeah. I do think it's fundamentally wrong. I mean, if you look at an open, you're looking at 10, 11 because the ball moves. 15. I don't think most golfers can compute that speed. That's like putting on a car bonnet. Now, there's making it difficult and there's making it impossible. There's great viewing and there's just watching people having carnage. I think they've really got to think about that and give the guys a chance to demonstrate their skills. So it's going to be somebody mentally very, very, very tough. So there's an argument, Scotty's playing so well that he's the guy that's going to go and do it. But I think Rory will come back. DeChambeau, I think playing on LIV, they're just not playing enough golf. He and Ram have chased hard, but they've fallen away at the end.
They have.
Again, DeChambeau is just not hitting his irons so well. His driving's phenomenal, his chipping's phenomenal, but then he's chipping onto these very fast greens. Xander Schauffele, I think Xander Schauffele's a chance as well. You know, five fantastic golfers. You could pick any one, and it's a bit of a toss of a coin. But a long answer for a simple question. So I'm going with Rory because I think he's time, and I think he's just been through such a rubbish patch. I think he'll be fairly chilled as to what happens. And I think when you're going in there, having had a 11 over par with two birdies, not a lot more can go wrong. And I think he said he played quite well. So I think that will help him mentally to take what the course gives him and just get the best score he can, because someone's going to have to go out there with a very, very calm brain and just take the breaks that you do or don't deserve.
Exactly, and he's coming in, like you said, off two missed cuts. So I think it's a, it's an interesting pick. Adi, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I actually agree with Doug with most of his comments. If that's true that they're having the greens on 15 on stint, that's gonna be ridiculous. Because if you have like it's only, I mean, even a 1% slope you're putting down, that is gonna be around 20 stint. So you can imagine how if you just have got 2%, it's gonna go up to, I don't know. I've never heard about 15. I mean, 12 is almost impossible to play for most of the guys, but with 15, I hope they slow them down a little bit. Otherwise, it's not going to be much fun to watch it. Because yeah, because if you have a downhill putt, you're fucked. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going with Rory as well.
Yes, so I'm going with Rory, not only because he's the best player at the moment. I mean, he's leading the Ryder Cup pointing list with, I mean, he's got 2,900 some points, and the next guy got 1,186. So, I mean, this is how far off he is. And he won the Masters. He got the all the majors now, and he is the pressure up, but he wants to show the guys. This is a major in the USA. We want to show what we can. I think he is going to be the leader of the Ryder Cup team for the Europeans, and he's gonna be there wanting to show the guys that we can play golf. And he definitely is in good form. I don't know what the people say, but he's never had any trouble hitting tight fairways. So he is definitely the favorite, yeah.
I think that's interesting because the one thing that's been bothering him since he had to switch drivers, and just to come back to that driver gate, it was nothing that he did to the club. He just hit it so many times that it ended up being non-conformant, and the same thing happened to Scotty. But these fairways are pretty tight. I did not pick Rory because I'm a little bit nervous about him spraying it. And I was one of the first guys after he won the Masters to jump on the bandwagon. Oh, he's got that off his back. He's going to dominate for years now. And I ate those words for breakfast pretty quickly. But sure, I would wish it for him. But I would even go as far as saying that from a European standpoint, Jon Rahm has a better chance to win this tournament, just because of the way he played at the PGA. And I don't know what he was like, five over of the last three holes or something like that. And he has blood in his eye during his practice rounds. But I took the easy way out and went with Scottie Scheffler in this category, because I think from the five guys, he's the most accurate driver of the golf ball. With it being fairly soft, I mean, it's rained a lot. I think being in the fairway is huge. I mean, I'm sure you've all seen the videos of the rough that they're growing there. It's unbelievable. And I think that'll be a big help. And I think, you know, he reminds me of Tiger in 99, 2000, 2001. When we did, at my job at that time, we had roto fests, just like this one, with 10 guys in the conference room. We used to take Tiger out of the pool because he was so good. And I think Scotty is moving in that direction. So I will take Scotty, because he is just, in my opinion, so solid. And we all know that golf is a sport or a game of mistakes.
I mean, I've said this before, Frank. I mean, these two guys have almost the same quality in the long game as Tiger did, Rory and Scotty. I mean, if they were as good as Tiger was with a putter, I mean, they would be as dominant as Tiger was. But I mean, that's the only question mark on Scotty Scheffler. If the greens are going to be really tough and really hard and really, you know, difficult, how good is it going to be without club? But definitely, he is always in a favor of winning on a difficult and hard courses.
Yep.
I don't think John Rahm's a bad call either, actually, because, you know, he kind of came away at the end in the last round, but he had to chase. So, you know, that's a difficult place, and there's some tough drives he had to make and some tough shots he had to make. So, again, I think when he lost five shots over two, three holes,
yep,
it's just remarkable. I think that any club golfer would have lost about 20 shots over those two or three holes. I mean, it's just, they're so accurate with their drives. They're so accurate with their seconds and so long with their irons. It's quite remarkable. And I'm lucky in the Scottish Open that I run the front nine, so I can be on the range and be inside the ropes, watching what they do. It's frightening how far they hit it. And conditions change, especially in Scotland. I think on the 18th, when Rory won it, I think he took a hit a two iron. I can't remember how far it was from the left hand side, but 35 feet up, there's a bunker, and John Rye was in the bunker on his last round, and he got it up to the front of the green, and he wasn't doing that with the two iron, 35 yards ahead. That's just called wind. So, you know, how the course is set up and change is hugely important as to who's going to win and who's not going to win. So, no, I think John Rahm's not a bad call, but I'm still going with Rory.
Any particular reason why we're all shorting Bryson?
I think his irons aren't good enough. You know, if you look at the commentary from the guys, he drives well, he chips well, he putts well, but he's missing a lot of things with irons. And if you can't afford a weakness on this golf course. I mean, it's set up really tough. We just talked about hitting fairways. He hits fairways, or he misses them by quite a bit. He's got the strength to get back. I mean, you see some of the stuff Rory did in the Masters, some of the shots he hit getting out of trees, and what they can do out the rough when we just be taking a drop.
Yeah, seriously,
they're putting it over a tree. It's incredible.
This is so mental as well. I mean, you have to stay very focused and confident and if he starts spreading a little bit, you know, his confidence is going to go down. And that over 4 days, that can be difficult.
Right.
But if he keep his chest out and he believes in himself for the 4 days, that he might be in top 10.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the way the course is set up and how he's plays, no, I don't think he's going to hold on to the pressure for 4 days with his game.
Yeah. He said an interesting thing. He said, this is Bryson, I think this golf course On this golf course, you have to be just a fraction more strategic, especially with the rough so long. And I think if a guy who is super strategic believes he has to be even more strategic, it cannot free him up.
You
we'll
still
see.
Have to hit the shots, you know. You still have to hit the shot.
Exactly, exactly. Mr. Ogren in absentia sent me a very detailed essay on Oakmont and the history of golf. But for the first category, all he wrote me was Scotty, clear favorite. That's all he had to say to this. Xander, well, I mean, he happens to be in the top five, certainly a good player. Malcolm, you said, and you're totally right, I totally agree with you, that every given week, anybody can win this tournament.
Xander's a great player. I mean, there's no doubt he's a great ball striker. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of weakness. I mean, it could be, you know, he's not a hot, you know, hot favorite, so he's not under pressure the first few rounds. And I think whoever is going to win this has got to be very consistent over 4 days, and they've got to play, they've got to drive their irons, their short game, and their putting's got to be fantastic. Strategy, absolutely, but getting the ball below the hole on greens, so you're not having these technical pops.
Yeah.
You know, whether they slow the greens up, you know whether at 15 and then bring down to 10, 11, 12 for the tournament, and that's perfectly possible. I can't really believe they're going to have greens in a tournament at 15.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a sign that either it was today or yesterday at the practice round. It says green on the stimp 16. 16 on the stimp. I mean, like you said, you cannot imagine it. Adi, and you've been around tour players, and you've coached tour players a lot. It must help having won a major or having won a US Open before in these situations, no?
Yeah. And it really, I mean, I had a practice round once with a guy from Wales who actually made one of the best shots in the Ryder Cup history, finishing in Scotland, putting it like a feet away from the hole. Do you know who I'm talking about, Doug?
Who's that? Sorry, I missed that.
The guys from Wales. Just a little test for you. Who got the victory, the Euros victory in Scotland in the Ryder Cup.
I think you mean Jamie Donaldson.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Goodness.
Jamie told me that after that shot, after he said nothing, not even standing on the first tee in Augusta, is a pressure after you have played a Ryder Cup and having that pressure on your shoulder. Everything is easy after that. So, I mean, having been in a major tournament, a winning tournament, having been on the Ryder Cup playing, these guys definitely are my favorites because they've been there before.
Yeah.
There's no comparison, but we just had the member guest at Renaissance. We won the flight horse race, and now you're playing foursomes. My brother wanted to drive first, and then we changed to the par three, so I was going to hit it first. I say, you bothered about the pressure with all 150 people watching and everyone else sitting off. He said, I'm not bothered about the pressure. No, not at all. So anyway, par three, the six, I hit the first shot, and then he's got a putt, and he came off. His legs were numb. He said, I can't believe that. This is a club championship with 100 people watching you. Again, relating it back to the people who golf every day.
Yeah.
The pressure is absolutely immense, and how do you keep the body relaxed enough to hit the shot under that pressure? And being able to do that and having experience doing that has got to be very, very important. None of these guys have ice in their veins.
Yep. It's just amazing. I mean, you've seen the stories on the social media about where they ask these guys who are playing, what would an 18 handicap shoot at Oakmont under these conditions from the back tees, finishing every hole? And I thought it was incredible because guys came up with numbers like 120, 130, 140. And only Bryson really had the balls to say 100 on the front nine.
Yeah.
You know?
Agree.
When you see those, even the rough around the greens, you know, okay, you can try to hack it out of the rough and hope to get it to the fairway, but if you got to play greenside from that rough, it's impossible.
Impossible. I took as were two teams, two pros and six amateurs. We played six rounds of golf. We had this game. You have to throw €5 into the pot for every three putt. And I thought, okay, we're gonna have maybe a sandwich and a wine or whatever. We had a meal and we had a dinner with everything, wine and whiskey, and we still had money left after. Those guys cannot putt on those greens. Amateurs do not know how to putt on those greens.
Yeah.
And no, so they would live a three and four putt on every green, at least.
Yeah, I mean, if you just put them on the green somewhere, they're not going to make pars, you know?
Yeah.
No,
They'll
this is
putt off
different
the greens
thing.
and be chipping again.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's move to category number two, which is the category of past champions. And again, we have designed it so every player can only be in one category. So you'll not find Rory in this category. In this category of past champions, we have the Hotel, Wyndham Clark. We have Matt Fitzpatrick, Lucas Glover, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, and Gary Woodland. Adi, why don't you lead us up on this one? Who did you who's your man in this group, in this
Yes, I
category?
mean there's only one choice for me. That's the guy number eight on the Ryder Cup rankings, Justin Rose. I mean, it's unbelievably so up there. But I mean, why I choose him is we remember how he played at the Masters. He is so well prepared for those courses. As you said, maybe you have to do a little bit of extra work on the strategy on that course, and I know Justin is doing that. And I mean, again, this guy has been 115 times in top 10.
Oh,
He has earned 69 millions, 060, 060. That's unbelievable. I mean, this guy is just unbelievable. And I mean, when he turns up, I mean, he's competitive. I mean, he does his homework. He's swinging the club a little bit better than he's used to. So. Or at least he's been swinging the club well since the Masters. I think he likes those kind of tournaments. I mean, when you're that age and still good, this is a tournament that give you the little edge. He wants that. And I think it will do better. So that's definitely my pick.
Would you and you've I'm sure you've watched him since he was the amateur at the Open and hold the second shot on the 72nd hole. Do you think at this age in his 40s he's playing the best golf of his life?
Yeah, and I think how he take care of himself, his body, how he trains, and I mean he looks amazing. I mean when you see him move around the course, you're not seeing an old guy. You're seeing really a fit golfer, really really fit.
Yeah.
And,
At 44 years of age.
yeah, exactly, and you don't see that. You see him. It's with all his experience as well. I mean, but I think it's really he knows how to manage himself. You know, what to eat, how to sleep, train. Everything around the whole package is so professional.
Mm
Everything he does is so professional. I mean, I don't know many players that do that what he does, and he keeps tracks on everything, statistic on everything. And he's really
I
really
think
a professional.
his performance in Rome was, you know, certainly a sign of what he's doing. Malcolm, do you agree with that? You know, you must have seen Mr. Rose around the links in Scotland a few times.
I have indeed, and it's interesting this new format because I've gone for Mr. Rose as well.
Okay.
We've got the same two picks in the first two categories. I think the fact that Fuchs is back on his bag has made a big difference. He's got his old Fuchs came off because he wasn't well. And coming back, can you remember what happened in the Open at Troon?
No, remind me.
So Justin came second by about a shot, and they went head to head in that horrible weather. He hit driver off the deck. What a round of golf he played, and that was last year. He came second in Troon, he came second in the Masters. Second in the Open and second in the Masters less than a year ago. And we're talking about can he play golf? He is a incredibly high level golfer. He's very, very bright. I've had Fuchs stay in the hotel before on the way up to Scottish Open, up the Open, all going ahead, all doing the prep, all doing the advanced planning, the work and he puts into every single golf course, the work they put into what they're doing is quite incredible. And I think seeing what the next category, if the same idea or not, I think experience and wisdom is going to be very, very important in this. I actually think Justin has a good chance of winning this, not just
Wow.
coming out of the past champions. As long as he's hitting it well, as long as he's, the energy levels are up, because he is 44, but 44 is not that old. You look at your man playing tennis just now at 39, and that's a pretty physical sport, and he only just lost to Sinner. So these guys are not like when we were 44 or whatever else. These guys are fit, they're in the gym every day, they're working out, they're striking golf balls all the time, they're walking the courses. So it's a different kind of thing. Whether he's quite got the length of the others, but again, we were talking about, I was saying that DeChambeau is his irons maybe are going to let him down, which maybe they let him down in previous majors. So I think Justin's got a real good chance of doing it. Of the others, Max Fitzpatrick's playing some likely better results, but I like his chances more if Billy Foster was in his bag. Not that the caddy he's got now is not good, but for this course, I think you're going to need some. This maybe go against Rory, because I'm not sure how much influence Rory's caddy has on him. I think Rory's caddy is good for Rory. I think they understand each other, but I don't think he's necessarily going to. I think anybody's going to talk Rory out of a shot he wants to hit. It's a bit like, Seve must have got told 100 times, don't hit that, but they understand that Seve's Seve and he can do what he wants. And he, well, not always, but they're amazing ball strikers, so they have that self-belief that they go for. So I mean, the rest of the guys, yeah, I know. I think the rest of Max Fitzpatrick would be my next guest, but that bunch, just to remind people, Max Fitzpatrick, Lucas Glover, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, Gary Woodland. Next, I would remember Max Fitzpatrick, but quite a long way behind. I think Justin's has got a chance.
But since you both picked him, do you think that the conditions, and it's been obviously it's been pretty wet, making the course even longer but also softer, plays a guy like Justin into his hands, because he's not that long like Bryson or Rory, and even though he might have a longer shot into the green, it gives him a better chance than if the fairways were hard, and he would end up in the rough as well as do the bombers.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
He needs to hit the fairways. But still, even though you're 20 yards shorter on the fairway, it's always a better spot than in that rough. Because this rough is unplayable. I mean, you've seen what happens. I mean, the guys are gonna, it's probably gonna be almost as bad as in the Ryder Cup in Paris, where you can only hack it out and hope the best. And you're going to lose a half a shot most of the time. No, I mean, I really think actually that some of these, straighter guys, the shorter guys, are not going to lose that much of an advantage if they really hit 90% of the.
I agree with you. In this category, I went for Mr. Clark.
Okay.
I think a past US Open champion, who's played okay, and really been going under the radar, doesn't have much pressure on him, I don't think. I think he might do very well, and
Who did you say again?
Wyndham Clark.
Okay. He's
And
not on our list, Eddie. He just kept that for himself. He's got a
he's
different
not on
list.
your list. He's not on your list. I wanted to go Rosie. I really want, because I would love to see him win. I mean, there's nothing more than I would love to see than to see him win. I totally forgot about Troon, but the heartbreak at Augusta that he must have felt, it would have meant just as much to him as it did to Rory, I think. And the way he came out of it, and this kind of sportsman he is, just everything about him is solid. Another reason why I picked Clark is because Mr. Ogren named him the hotel. So how can you not want this guy on your list? But look out for the bombshell by Mr. Ogren, who he picks from this category. He is picking number 7, Lucas Glover, because he's straight. And Lucas has had some problems lately, missing cuts and not really playing well, but he is straight, and he is wielding one of those lab putters. So I think interesting pick by Mr. Ogren. He said he would have picked the hotel next, but he didn't. He's picking Lucas Glover. Our next category, ladies and gentlemen, are the over 40s. And we've had already here, just we're talking about Justin Rose. He was in the past champions category, so he cannot be in this category as well. Here we have also an interesting category. Guys who are over 40, some of them playing the best golf, even a guy over 50, Richard Bland, playing some of the best golf of his career. In this group, we have Richard Bland, Mark Leishman, Adam Scott, Eduardo Molinari, who qualified for the US Open, the architect of our victory in Rome, James Hahn of the USA, Chris Kirk, Phil Mickelson, winning the PGA at Kiawah Islands Ocean Course at age 51. And the guy with still the best name in golf, Johnny Vegas from Venezuela. Malcolm, who do you like from the over 40 guy?
I'm going with Adam Scott. Adam has again been playing very well. Lot of experience. Maybe basing a bit what I saw at Scottish Open last year, but he's been up and down. But he's been roundabout in a couple of tournaments, not quite made it. Yeah, I don't think Phil Mickelson's going anywhere. Did you see that shot he hit in the live thing the other day? Almost over his
Yeah,
head. I mean,
unbelievable.
that guy is just, I mean, was he facing right and he pinned his left and he just quite incredible. Magician. Richard Bland, you're right, playing very well. But no, I think I'm going to go for Adam Scott. Again, he's been around, he's patient. Interesting, he's not as long as the other guys, but maybe not being as long, his second shots are good, his strategy is good, his thinking is good. I think he's still pretty hungry as well. I think he's got a bit to prove. So I'm going to go with Adam Scott.
And you guys, you have both been around the tours and pro players and long enough. This patience that you talk about in a 72 hole event on one of the most difficult golf courses in the world, under these conditions, how do you manage that patience? How do you get to that point?
It's a routine, actually. It's a lot of that's why the guys have a plan every day, do the same thing, be occupied. I mean, I remember when I met Bernhard Langer, I was caddying for another guy. He came and didn't say hello, didn't say, whatever. He just came and told me, or asked me, "Where is the gym?" I said, "Mr. Langer, he's there." Because they have a program, they just fill that program so they don't get too much time. to get influenced by other things.
It's interesting that you say that the routine. I've found through my friend Laurie Montague, who's down in Australia and Indonesia, how you can measure their pre-shot routine, and it's every tee shot. It's within half a second, the length of the pre-shot routine. It's between, I don't know, 7.1 and 7.3 seconds every single time.
If
Now,
they're
when I
on
step to the ball, it could be 3 seconds, it could be 20 seconds. I don't know, but this is what you're talking about, right?
yeah,
yeah,
Roger Davis.
that's a routine on the golf course, and it has to be. I mean, Djokovic has in when we're playing tennis.
Yeah, the
Doesn't matter
balance.
practicing or when he's taking the final serve on the US Open. It's always the same. He is very accurate. They measured on the European tour, I think it was like 20 tournaments, and it was about 300 players altogether. They measured. And the longer the routine got, the worse the performance was. And we got the same results from those companies now that are measuring the brain waves when in the preparation. So if you get too over a certain time of seconds, your performance is over. You hit a bad shot or whatever. So it's and that's why, if, for example, if you take a Rory or Scheffler, you'd see how effective the routine are when they step to the ball. They just like boom, boom, it's gone because they're there. And Ludwig Åberg is, of course, the master of that. He just
No.
doesn't hesitate. They just step up and bang. So it's all been measured. It's not good to stand over the ball over a long time and think. And that's what actually I meant. In the daily routine is not good to have too much time to think about those things. Have your routine plan. Do what you do. Go to the gym. Go for a walk. Practice. Do things so you don't get too much involved in different things.
Yeah. Malcolm, Roger Davis.
Roger Davis, the old Aussie pro, who used to see quite a lot of, he said, golf is concentration for 10 seconds and then completely forget it until you have to do the next 10 seconds. He from putting his taking his grip was 8.5 seconds. If he was playing really, really well, it'd be 8 to 8.2, 8.3 seconds. That would make a huge difference. He said that when the shark lost the Masters in the first three rounds, he was something like 5 seconds to 5.3 or 6 to 6.3. On the last day, he was from 5 to 20 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, that concentration, the 10 seconds comes down into there. So when your concentration is shot, you've hit it and you're gone. That's not talking to your caddy. That's just bang, bang. They have a measurement time. And you don't want to be thinking about it. That's just when you're playing naturally. And you don't tense. All the guys talk about tension. You see keeping the club moving. I was playing with a guy and he must have been 15, 20 seconds over the ball. So I said, "Is your name Izzy? He? What's Izzy?" I said, "Is he going to hit it?" And so many amateurs can bring it back to amateurs, which obviously I am. They stand there tense. Everything tenses up. So you can't move. So try and get a swing coming after that. Yeah. That tension is just very, 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 very difficult. And if you're watching the tournament, watch for when they take the grip to hit the ball and just time that, and it'll be very, very, very consistent.
It's amazing. And no offense to Roger, but what you're talking about, that wasn't last week when he did this.
No, absolutely.
It's decades ago.
He's only 12.
So Malcolm goes with Duck and Malcolm goes with Duck. Malcolm goes with Scott in the over 40s. How about you, Adi?
Finally we disagree. So
Ah,
yeah,
maybe.
I'm gonna go for the vice captain in Italy, Edoardo Molinari. And I mean, he got into a tournament, playing a playoff 6 for 3 places. So if you get in there, you have time now to get your strategy together and be there. He's not the youngest, but he's got enough experience, and he's an Italian. He adapt to things. The good thing about the European players, they are very quick to adapt to the courses and the situations. I mean, Malcolm, I mean, in Scotland, you can be playing completely different courses from day to day just because of the weather. So you have to be able to adapt, and the Europeans have always been better at that. So if the course gets really tough, I really think that Eduardo is going to make the cut. He's
Yeah.
going to who can adapt to the situation, to the whole thing, and play his game to get through, as he did getting through the qualifying. And yeah, so I'm not seeing any of those guys winning the tournament or getting even close to it. But now we're probably picking more people that we think that can make the cut, and I believe that he can.
Well, we'll get to a category where there's some guys who can probably win. But I, in this category, agree with you, Malcolm. I also picked Adam Scott just because I love the way he plays the game and the way he walks the fairways and he's been playing really well. Maybe not his the best golf of his life like Rosie has been, but he's won a major. He's been there. He's fairly straight and he played well in the Masters as well. I mean the first couple of days. So I think he is a guy that will make the cut and I went with him and wait till you hear what Mr. Ogren had to say to this category. He goes, any American guy not named Phil. This is the comment from Mr. Ogren. Mr. Ogren is going with Chris Kirk in this category. He's a funny guy, David. I mean, but he's the way Adi is always building a European team, he's building an American team. It's fantastic. But this next category is very exciting because it's our Scandi Hooligans category. We've got Denmark, Norway, and Sweden on the blocks. And surprisingly, well, maybe not surprisingly, Rasmus Højgaard qualified. Nikolai did not. Then we have Rasmus Nergaard Pedersen from Denmark, Nicholas Norgaard from Denmark, and Thorbjørn Thunderbear Olesen from Denmark.
Unbelievable, yeah. He's still there. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Then we have from Norway, Viktor Hovland, who might be interesting. And then from Sweden, we have Ludvig Åberg and Joachim Lagergren. Adi, I think I know where you're going here.
No,
I really don't because you like all these guys.
because I'm not going for Ludvig Åberg this time. Because I might have him chasing later, but no, I'm going for Rasmus Højgaard. And he is in a position now he needs to play well. He's, I think, number eight on the Ryder Cup. Yeah, no, he is. No, he's number four. Exactly, he's number four. But he's very tight from four to like 10. You need to play well to keep your to keep your spot in the Ryder Cup. So no, he's gonna. I really think he's gonna step up now. I mean, those brothers are very good players, both of them. And Rasmus has been playing much better in the last tournament. Yeah, I put my Scandinavian goes to him because
I'm surprised you didn't go for Ludwig.
all the top all those guys, he's at the moment the best one. Yeah.
There you go, Malcolm.
I think I might go for Viktor Hovland. It's quite a difficult one. I was kind of partly because he's just Norwegian, so a proper Viking.
Yes. And the Icelandic guys.
It's a really difficult category that, because there are a lot of pretty good players there. And Ludwig Aberg, is how do you pronounce Aberg? I keep calling him
Oberg, Ludwig Oberg.
Aberg. I'm dyslexic. I keep calling him Ardbeg, which of course is whiskey. I might take him a bottle at the Scottish Open and tell you, I keep thinking this is your name. Tough category. Victor, quiet guy, but again, very solid game. Yeah.
Definitely.
Difficult category to talk too much about. I mean,
Yeah, exactly.
Great players, but I'm going with Victor.
Yeah, Mr. Ogren takes Victor also, and he is from this lot statistically at least the straightest driver of the golf ball, with 63% of the fairways hit. I am making do on my promise that I will not let another Rotofest pass without picking floating Ludwig. I love everything about him, and I think it's just a matter of time before he wins one, and it's just a matter of time before I win one of these Rotofests. So I'm going with Ludwig. The next category, gentlemen, is players with first names that start with the letter S. Also an interesting category. We have Sepp Straka, Sam Bairstow from England, Stefan Jäger from Germany, Shane Lowry from Ireland, Sung Jae Im from Korea, Si Woo Kim from Korea, Sam Burns, who just lost in the playoff, Sam Stevens, Sahith Theegala has withdrawn from the tournament, so he is off the block, and a guy by the name of Scott Vincent from Zimbabwe. Mr. Duck, how do you feel about guys whose name starts with the letter S?
Too many things jump in my mind. For a Scot, Shane Lowry jumps out, but he's been kind of here and there, but I'm not quite sure where he is. I think I'm probably going to go with Sam Burns just on recent form. He must be feeling quite good just now. Again, I think the category's pretty tight. Yeah, not a huge amount to say, but I'm going to go with Sam Burns.
Ooh, wow. Sam Burns. Because he won last week? Momentum?
Yeah.
How much does that matter?
I think on this golf course, confidence is going to be pretty big.
Right. Yep. Do you think he's a guy who can win a US Open, a major, Sam Burns?
I said anyone in the field can win.
You believe that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, some people would have said a while ago, one of the problems with the Open, you get a lot of people not known winning tournaments. I mean, the quality in the fields right now is incredible. I think in the last 7 or 8 years, 6 or 7 years, you got a few more guys since Tiger. When Tiger was there, it was Tiger, and who else was there? And
Right.
then when Tiger really stopped, I mean, a lot of guys you'd never heard of won tournaments. You go back and look into the last 20 Open winners and tell me how many are household names before they won it.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And you look again the golf course setup and all the rest of it. I mean, yeah, I just think we forget just how good these guys are. I should phone up Beamer and Coulthard before one of these programs and get some of their thoughts, but the
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I mean, again, those guys, a lot of the Sky commentary team was, just talk about the quality in the field.
Yeah. I'd like to get the opinion of Jaime Diaz. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, and I don't. When we get to the amateur category, I don't really know the amateurs, but it's the kind of with a course set up, it's potentially, of course, an amateur could, do reasonably. I'm not saying win it, but
Right.
potentially, every people are falling away if. If they keep their heads when everyone else is losing theirs, they could do okay.
Yep. Well, that's the last category we'll get to. And there's a guy in that category that used to be a caddy at Oakmont.
All right, okay.
Mr. Ogren told me. You've had guys, and without taking anything away from the players, but you've had guys win this, like a Hubert Greene, or like a Larry Nelson. I mean, Scott Simpson, guys who only won one major. I remember Tom Kite winning at Pebble Beach. It was the first golf bet I really won at 40-1. I was a newlywed and bought myself, or bought me and my bride, a new bedroom. But then you have guys like Michael Campbell, Jeff Ogilvie, guys that are really not, like you just said, Malcolm, were at the time established guys who went on to win the US Open. I remember I went to see the US Open 2004 at Shinnecock. And it was hot, and it was just, New York and the whole thing. And Tiger, of course, and everybody was there. And I remember, I was there in the practice round on Wednesday, I believe. And I remember Retief Goosen walking over the bridge to the first tee. And I looked at him, and he was walking in a very strange way that made me notice it from 100, 200 yards away. I see this guy, who's this guy? And he ended up winning the tournament. So I think, even though it's hard for me to imagine that anybody in the field can win it, but I think you have a very good point. Adi, who do you like from? Sorry.
Sam Burns world rankings 22.
Yeah, I know. Oh, he's a player, no question about it. I like him very much. Adi, who do you like in this category? In the not in this category, in
S category.
S category. Yeah, well, this one should be interesting.
I was choosing between two, of course, Sepp and Shane.
Yeah.
And they're both quite up there within the Ryder Cup list, both with around 1,100 points. And if, I mean, I mean, even though this guy has not really performed in the tournament, he makes the cut at going for Sepp Straka. He's a strong guy. He's big guy. And Shane as well. They're both brilliant players, and I hope really they both do well. But I can only choose one, so I'm going for the Austrian guy this time. And in this category, I mean, there are some good names, but me as a European
Yeah.
and Ryder Cup European fan, I want to see him, Sepp Straka, making
There
the
you go.
team and being for us there.
Mr. Ogren had the same thought, and he out actually conveyed that Strucker was one of his top picks to actually win the tournament. I am flying the Irish flag. I'm going with Shane. 65% of fairways hit, well above average on the tour. I would love it. He had a chance to win the Masters. I think momentum also works in his favor. His buddy Rory is doing well, so I would love to see him well. Although the straightest guy in this group is Sungjae Im, if you go by driving accuracy.
Yeah.
But we'll see if an Asian player, or maybe Ted will pick him when he's back from for where Ted is also somewhere. He's at the British Amateur qualifying. I don't know where he's somewhere. Next, it's a very interesting category, and then this is a special category. We have Australians, Canadians, Mexicans, Scotsmen, and Kiwis. If you tell me that's not a great category. And in this category, we have from Australia, Cam Davis, Jason Day, Minwoo Lee, and Cameron Smith. From Canada, Corey Connors. From New Zealand, just qualified last week, Ryan Fox. And interesting how fox and duck are both one syllable. We have from Canada, also from Canada, Mackenzie Hughes and Taylor Pendrith and Nick Taylor, four Canadians in the field. Pretty impressive. From Mexico, Roberto Diaz, Emilio Gonzalez, Alvaro Ortiz, and Carlos Ortiz. And from Scotland, Bobby McIntyre. Adi, you lead us off on this one.
This is a category I don't have a clue, so
Is why we're doing this.
why are you doing this to me? So no, but I have, but when I got into like this, I want to look at the future, and I want to see guys who are very promising and are going to be a good players that I want to watch, in many years from now on. And Min Woo Lee is one of the guys. He's 26. He's won one tournament, which is like, I think, Houston Hospital, blah blah. I can't remember even the name, but it was not a big one. He only got like 500,000 for it, but he has one tournament in his bank. One. He's very young, and I want to just put my name on him. So
And he's a cocky guy.
remind me on him, and to look at it in the future to see how he's going to do. Because of course, I want to have an Australian. My good friend, Dr. Rob Neil, is from Australia. He coaches a lot of those kids and a lot of those guys. So yeah, so I want to put him on my list as the first one.
Is your friend the good doctor part of the Elva team?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Okay.
He is the number one in biodynamics in the world. So, and he travels all the way around and do a lot of measuring and coaching and work with a lot of good coaches as well. So he's very experienced and
There
yeah.
you go. Just for the record, Adi, Min Woo Lee is not a European.
I know.
It's a first. I mean, wow.
First time I have to say those
But then
words.
again, there's no Europeans in this category.
Listen,
Excuse me, the Scotsman. I'm sorry.
I know there's one guy here that wants that guy.
Actually, we're not part of Europe.
So,
EU.
Yeah, and you're
I can't choose Scotland as, Canadians, Mexicans, and whatever.
Well, Malcolm's got to be in a bind after Ryan Fox qualified and turned up in this category. What are you doing, sir?
It's a tough one for me because I got a lot of
I
time with
know.
Ryan Fox. I don't like foxes eating ducks, but apart from that, I like him. And as you know, I was a great admirer of his father, who was a fantastic rugby player. But given the date today, and I'll explain that in a minute, and given that Bob won the Scottish Open, which was the best field outside a major last year, and is heading to be the best field outside a major this year. I thought it was the Players at Sawgrass, but it's actually the Scottish Open. And he won that, and he came second before, obviously, and won the Canadian Open. He's not done a lot recently, but the other reason I'm going for him, you've got my Romarine jumper on tonight. So the 11th of the 12th is the anniversary of the Battle of the Two Sisters, which I sadly was involved in, or gladly was involved in. And we lost quite a few guys that night, and I had to sad duty to give the order to fix bayonets. And one of the guys who got killed was Gordon McPherson, who's from Oban. And Bob is from Oban. So partly for that reason, I think tonight I have to choose Bob. And last year when he won, 2 years ago, when Bob lost to Rory, he was outside the clubhouse, looked a bit kind of down. So I went up and said, Malcolm Duck, Royal Marines, Gordon McPherson, 22, Glenn 2A Glenn Cruton Drive, Royal Marines. You remember? He said, yeah. I said, well, he died. You're alive. He just came second. Perspective. And he gave me a little hug. And, it's fantastic we can do all these things, but there are a lot of guys who aren't here who gave their today's for our tomorrow's. So I just salute them and say absent friends. So on that basis, I enjoy happiness, and I go for Bobby McIntyre for Oban.
There you go. Yeah, he's such a great story. I mean, it's just a pleasure to watch him and to how he lives his life, or what we see from a distance. Mr. Ogren went the same way. He goes, "I'll be very lucky to be taking Bobby Mack." I, on the other hand, went for Mr. Connors. I think It's about time for another Canadian to break through. I think he's playing well. He's driving the ball well. And I think he's just cool enough to withstand the pressures of whatever they have to face there. Two more categories, gentlemen, and these are going to be, I believe, fairly quick. We have a category, the next one, second to last, of continental Europeans. And here we have Belgium, France, Italy, and Spain represented. Thomas Detry, Belgium. Frédéric Lacroix, Mathieu Pavon, and Victor Perez from France. Guido Migliozzi and Andrea Pavan from Italy, and José Luis Ballester, who just turned pro and went to live, I believe, who's a young amateur, apparently a fantastic player. I don't know much about him. Mr. Doc.
I'm going to go to Victor, purely and simply because he was at Renaissance a lot, used to live in Dundee, so he's got a Scottish connection. I like the French because the Scots and the French have lots in common. And Victor's a really, really, really decent guy. He's also a very hard worker. He's very meticulous. He's beginning to, I think, do a bit better in the States. So yeah. I wish him well. And I think he's got the mental presence to be able to cope with a course like this. So I'm going for Victor.
Is he like 6'8"? Is he a really tall guy, right?
He's not small. Yeah. He's not small. Yeah, he's a delightful guy. Very quiet. No side to him. Not cocky. He's not brash. Just very, very polite. Very well mannered, and a very, very hard worker.
And a very straight driver of the golf ball.
Correct.
Yeah, I did a little homework this time, Mr. Olafsson.
Yes. So there is one guy who is actually. Been having actually a great run on that list, and that is the number 9 on the European list, Thomas Detry. I have chosen before, he has never performed really well when I picked him, but yeah, just because he's number 9 on the European list, I'm just going to pick him and to complete my European Ryder Cup team.
There you go.
But he hits it a long way. He can, if he's on it, if he's got his momentum, he might actually be in top 20, I think.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I picked him as well. Mr. Ogren went with Mr. José Luis Ballester because he now has FU money.
FU money.
That was his comment on this one. I guess that's a very good reason to pick him, David Ballester. And now we come to the last category, which might even decide the outcome. The amateurs. There are 15 amateurs in the field. I'm not going to read them all. Most of us don't know probably any of them, but you can either go by the hair. You know, you got a couple of guys that have good hair. You can go by the name, like a Michael Lasasso. I mean, that's a pretty good name, like Lasso. You can go by the dentist who used to caddy at Oakmont, the 36-year-old dentist who used to be caddy at Oakmont when he was young, Matt Vogt. You can go for a Ben James who is playing, who qualified for a second straight Open. So there's a bunch of guys. I'm sure you guys had a quick look. And Adi, who did you go with from the amateur side?
Yeah, because I don't know those guys that well, but I know one of the I coach one of the top amateurs in the world, and I asked him. So, I
wow.
got him from him. Yes, yeah, so he's number, I think, number 50 in the world, or something like that, my player. And he said, I need to find that name. Sorry.
It's okay.
Jackson Koivan. I don't know if I've said this right.
Jackson Koivunen, Koivunen with a U,
Yeah,
right?
he's in the list that you send later on today.
And why is he picking him for you? I mean, not why is he picking for you, but why is he picking him?
Probably because he knows the amateur scenes quite well. He knows who's good at the moment. He'd been playing well, and yeah, I don't know why actually.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful that a major and the Open is like it, has 15 amateurs in the field.
That's great.
I think it's wonderful. I mean, because and Malcolm, like you said, these guys are so good, and these amateurs are so good. When you look at the qualifying, I know Ian Poulter's son tried to qualify and missed by one, or missed in the playoff. These guys are shooting lights out. It's incredible. It's incredible. Koivun for Adi. Malcolm, who did you pick?
Lance Simpson keeps coming up as a pretty good player. But I was kind of thinking Justin Hastings because he's the only one from the Cayman Islands and the Hastings
Seriously.
family. And the Hastings family are a great rugby family who I know quite well. So he's called Hastings and he's the only non-Yank. And not nothing against Yanks, but what's the differential? I think Lance Simpson has done fairly well recently. So I'm going to go with Lance Simpson. Or
Ironically, Cayman Islands is where Ted Long keeps all his money.
That's another good point. Probably well sponsored.
There you go. Exactly. I went with Ben James, the guy that has qualified for two US Opens in a row. And Mr. Ogren went for Matt Vogt, the dentist who used to caddy at Oakmont when he was a young man. Also a great story. And now we have the last pick, which is a wild card, and it's a player that's not in any of the categories. Shall I lead off?
It cannot be in any of the categories.
Cannot be in any of the categories.
Oh shit! I'm
Oh
okay.
shit. Well then,
Yeah,
I'll lead off.
you lead off,
I
yeah.
will lead off. I was basically between four guys. And I'll tell you which ones. Morikawa, Fleetwood, JT, and Aaron Rye. Those were my four wild card picks. And I decided to go with Colin Morikawa. Because nobody on tour hits more fairways than this guy does. And I've picked him every time, and he's always let me down. And please, Rick Sessinghouse, if you're listening, I know you're in this group and you see exactly what's going on. Just give him an extra nudge and maybe he'll pull it off. If you need some extra time, I will give.
No,
Well, there you
I'm
go. All right, Adi, how about you?
it's easy for me. So
Easy.
a guy
Scandinavian.
who's in none of the categories, but is one of the great players in Europe, Tommy Fleetwood.
Ah, yeah. I mean, how sweet would it be to see him win one of these?
That'd be great.
I mean, it's and when you when you think about all these names that we're talking about, how good does a European Ryder Cup team look
Yeah.
for September?
Great.
It's amazing, and they're all playing well.
And we got Jose María Olazabal as a co-captain with
Yeah.
Donald, and yeah, that's gonna be fun.
And this is just the kind of group you need to walk into New York City and say, here we are. You know,
Exactly.
I mean, exactly. Mr. Duck.
I'm gonna go with JT
JT.
Boston.
Oh, not Justin Thomas.
No.
JT Poston.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been playing well. His caddy's got a great voice.
Well,
Caddy's a great singer, so
wait a minute.
he'll need someone to keep him calm on the golf
What?
course. I mean, he'll just lullaby him just in between the shots.
What did you hear him sing?
We did a thing towards the end. There's a guy called Sam Harrop who does he takes famous tunes and puts words to them. So they were both down in Duck's Inn, and his caddy was singing along as Sam was playing the piano. I think that's on a video somewhere they did about the Scottish Open and stand round about. But he's been playing not badly recently as well. He's a damn good golfer and pretty focused. He had he married a baby not that long ago, so maybe that's died down a bit now and back focusing his golf. So yeah, I'm gonna go with JT Poston.
JT Poston. And we will close this show. And thank you, two guys, for the invaluable insights that you share with our listeners. It's and with me. It's an absolute pleasure. So thank you for being here. I dig this new format. Mr. Ogren will close the show with his wild card pick, and I quote, "Wild card, Brian Harman." Why? Because until right now, nobody has said his name. Ladies
Cheers,
and
Mike.
gentlemen, that was it. To the Linksland. Thank you guys very much. We'll be watching. Have a good night, everybody.